Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis, three lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, we had mentioned the machlokes of Rav Sheshes and Rava in the circumstance where Kansa Becheskes Psula, where somebody got married to a woman with the assumption that she was a Psula, the Nimsis Pula, and then it turns out that she actually was not a Psula. And the Gemara said that Rava held that this is considered a situation of a mekach tos, and she's not entitled to a ksuba at all. Rav Sheshes holds that that is not necessarily considered a mekach tos to the degree that the marriage is dissolved, but rather it's considered still that the marriage is a marriage. Rather, she only gets a ksuba of a mona. So we begin the Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, Kansa Rishon L'Shem Nesu'in. A woman got married to a man, and they even had a chuppah. V'yesh lo Eidim shlo Nistra. And there were Eidim that there was never a yichud after the chuppah. They never were alone after the chuppah. Inami, or even if they were alone, husband and wife, but it was Nisra v'lo Shasa k'debiyah. They weren't alone enough time that they should have had biyah in during that time. The halacha is, and now she marries a second husband. The halacha is that the second husband cannot come with a claim that he discovered that she's not a besula, and therefore it's a mekach tos if she doesn't have besulim. Shrei konsarishin. She is an individual who is already married, and as we learned in the Mishnah in the previous year, Kansa that Amana Basula min an Asuin. If you have an Amana min an Asuin who is a Basula, so the halacha we learned was that she's entitled only to a ksuba of Amana. And furthermore, we learned Veiloi Tanis Basulim. The husband has no right to claim when he discovers that she's not a Basula, he has no right to claim that why is she not a Basula. And of course, the question is, Rashi asks, if all of that was explicit in the Mishnah in the previous year, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us here? So Rashi explains that the Braisa is coming to teach us that even if there were Edim, that she was never alone with her husband, was alone with her husband, not enough time for there to be a Bia, still, he has no right to say a Tainus Psulim. In the previous Mishnah, nothing was mentioned about Edim. Amarava. So Rava, after learning this braisa, tells us, Zoysameris, from here we see, the concept of Cheskes Psula, he married this woman with the assumption that she is a Psula, the Nimtzes Bula, and now it turns out that she's a Bula, Yeshla Ksubamana. The braisa says that he can't claim Tanis Psulam, and yet she has a Ksuba. Apparently, what is the Ksuba that she has? She has a Ksuba of a Mana. Ravashyama, Ravashi, so this is clearly consistent, says the Gemara. This is clearly consistent with the opinion of Rabba. Ravashi Amar, the Raya is not a Raya, because we can really say, Ba'al Maloilam Emeloch Eslo Klal, really she is not entitled. Shani Hachob, here it's very different. She Konsarishin, she was once married. And as Tosfos and the Rashba explain, he understood that since she was married, she must not be a Basula. And the Edim come with these claims. So Tosfos explains, the second husband assumes that the only reason the Edim are making these claims is because they want to make him feel better about her. The Rashba explains, because he doesn't rely on the Edom. Because when are Edom reliable? When they intend to say Edus. So the way the Rashba explains, what happened in the first marriage? What happened, obviously, in the first marriage was that she got married to this husband, and after she got married to him, before they had the opportunity to consummate the marriage, he died. And the Edom was there watching what happened. But the Edom weren't there watching what happened with the intention of being witnesses. They're just reporting what they saw. Therefore, the husband recognizes that they are not that reliable to be relied on. Another pshat that the Ramban suggests, that even though the Edom are suggesting she's a psula, this is not the woman that people assume is a psula. Because people assume a woman's a psula that if she was never married, she never had nisun before. This woman clearly had nisun before. And because this woman clearly had nisun before, the husband doesn't look at her as a psula. But ask the Gemara. Even if that's the case, but why not be concerned? Maybe, how did this happen? It seems that she was a psula. And now when the second husband, is having relations with her, she's not a psula. So why shouldn't we be concerned that she had relations after she became an arusa to this woman? So Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is on the wording of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Ein leitanis psulim. Ein leitanis psulim means there's nothing to be concerned about. Why is there nothing to be concerned about? Particularly, some Rishonim point out that if she married a Kohen, that even if she had these relations, she was violated, and she didn't have those relations willingly, the halacha still would be that she can't live with her husband. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, why are we just ignoring the fact that she was not found as a psula? The Rashba explains that the Gemara's question is that how can we ignore Edom? The Edom are saying that she is a psula, and how can we just discount what they are discussing? The Tosfos Rid explains the Gemara's question that if this woman was saying, the reason I'm not a psula is because my husband, my first husband, had relations with me, says the Tosfos Rid, then she would be believed and there would be no reason to have any issue here. But says the Tosfos Rid, the Braisa didn't make any such distinction. The Braisa says that the husband doesn't have a tainus psulim, meaning that the husband doesn't have a tainus psulim even in a situation where she's not defending herself. And says the Tosfos Rid, the Gemara's question is, why is that? Why, if she's not even defending herself and we have a real issue, are we ignoring it? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Shrabya, the Braisa is referring to a situation, Kigon Shekidah Shebaal Alter. As we've been learning, the concern is not if she had relations before she was ever married. The concern here is that between Erisin and the Suin, something happened. Here we don't have such a concern, because the Erisin and the Suin happened one after the other, as is the custom in our world. And since they happened right away, even if she had relations, those relations wouldn't make her also to her husband, because she didn't have relations as an Eishes Ish. And she's not being married under the assumption that she's a psula, because she's only getting the ksuba of a bu'ula. And therefore, there's no reason to have a concern. Says the Gemara, a different version. The Gemara is not speaking about the Braisa directly. The Braisa is speaking about the Mishnah. Ikdem Esnalayim Esnisen, that those that refer to the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Besula, Mana, Grusha, Chalutzim, and Nasuin, the Mishnah said all these women, Ksubasim, Mana, Veilan, Tanis, Besulim. There's a Ksuba, is a Mana, and they don't have Tanis, Besulim. Ask the Gemara, Psulim and Nasun, Heichim Shkachsla, what is the circumstance where a woman could still be Psulim, a Psulim, even though she had Nasun? And the answer is, Kigon Shenichnasul Chuppah, that she had a Chuppah of Lay Nivela, but it was never consummated. Amar Rava, on that Rava comments, we see from that Mishnah, Shekansa, Becheskas Psula, that if she was married under the assumption that she's a Psula, and Nimsa Bula, she gets a Ksuba, because that's what the Brishna is teaching us, that she gets the Ksuba of Amana. Ravashi says that loyalam emelach ba'amalas laklal. Under normal circumstances, says Ravashi, konsa becheskes pesula v'nimtza ba'ula, she's not entitled to any ksuba. Why does that Mishnah teach us? The Mishnah Dafir Alf and Ralph teach us that she does get the ksuba. Since the second husband knew that there was even a chuppah with the first husband, so he did not assume that she's a psula. And since she did not assume, since he did not assume that she is a psula, he assumed she's a bula. So that's why she should get the ksub of a mona. But ask the Gemara the same question as we just had. Why should we not be concerned that she had relations after she was an arusa? And if she had, and as we explained with the different pshatim, if that's the case, how could we just not be concerned? She may be also to him if she had relations while she was an arusha, while she was an Eishes Ish. To which the Gemara answers, Amar Meshabia, we're talking about a case, the Mishnah there is talking about a case, Shagoyin Kshikida Shabor La'altar. And there was no time for her to have an adulterous relationship while she was in Arusa. Says the Gemara, Manda Masla Braisa, the one that just explained Rav Ashi's explanation on the Braisa, will certainly say it in the Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah, if he said it in a case where there were Edom, that she didn't have relations, and still we're able to give all these explanations, certainly in the Mishnah, where there are no Edom, that she didn't have relations, we could give such an explanation. However, says the Gemara, Manda Masla Masnissen may say in the Mishnah, where there are no Edom, saying that she never had a Bia, so we could well understand that when she's Nimtzes Bula, because she had relations, and the husband's not the new husband is not expecting anything different. Ava Braisa, but in the case of the Braisa, the husband, when he finds her to be a Ba'ula, to not be a Psula, there the halacha be that she will not be entitled to Ksuba. Shunamatsu Amalan, this case, with her Edom, who came and said, we know she's a Psula, he could say, I was relying on what the Edom said. And when it turned out that she's not a psula, my expectations were not met. And since my expectations were not met, so it's a mekach tos. Says the Mishnah, Ha'ichel etzel chamav be'Yehuda. In Yehuda, there was a minig that after the erusin, the husband and wife, the Arusa and her husband would remain secluded. Even though there were no Edom, the Shloibe Edom, there are no Edom to say that there was no Yichud. And then it turns out that she's a Bula, any Yochalot and Tanis Psulim. Such a husband cannot claim that she's a Psula, named Mishachrima, because he was with her privately. So Rashi explains that during the period, the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, that during the period between the Erusin and the Suin, it was customary that the chassan would come, it's more than a chassan, apidin, he's a husband, would come to visit his arusa, and they would be secluded, and therefore they would be secluded. That's the concern that during that time he did be with her. The Rambam says that it was during the Sudas Erusin. At the time of the Sudas Erusin, they would be secluded. And since they would be secluded, we have to be concerned that they had Bia during that time. Others explain, the Rebbe Yonason explained, that they deliberately put them B'yichud, they deliberately kept them secluded because they should learn to love each other. And explains Rebbe Yonason why. Because we know, we learned at the beginning of Masechta, that in Yehuda, the Hegman, the governor, would be particular to have relations with all Kalas. And therefore, they did this to prevent any problem. What does that mean? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the Hegman would not, at this point, have relations with her. He only was anxious to have relations with her if he knew that the chassan, that he'll be first. Once he knows that he's not first, he loses interest. Another pshat I saw is that he does have interest, but the husband is not going to have a problem living with his wife. They've already developed feelings for each other, and even if this girl unfortunately has to go through the terrible situation of having relations with the Hegmon, that won't prevent her husband from living with them. So I saw, why is this specifically in Yehuda that they had this issue with the Hegmon? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that Yehuda was the one that killed Esav. And the Hegmon had a terrible dislike, hatred to Yehuda for having killed his forefather Esav. And that's why they had this rule that the Hegmon has relations with the Kala in Yehuda. Another pshat that I saw is that in Yehuda they were well aware that the Hegmon, Esav, Edom in Yehuda, was well aware that Mashiach is going to come from them. And since they were aware that Mashiach is going to come from them, they wanted to be the first one to have relations with the women in Yehuda and to create that a woman who had relations with the Hegmon, how could she be the mother from whom Mashiach will be a descendant? And by the husband having relations with her first, that's why it will prevent, as we just said, from the Hegmon from perhaps even having relations with her. He'll see there's no purpose, or he'll marry her anyway and not ruin what could happen from this Jewish marriage. Says the Gemara, Midik Tanya Eichel, since the Mishnah used the word Ha'eichel, Mechlal the Ikka Dichta Behuda Nami Del Eichel. The Mishnah used the word Eichel, means Ha'eichel. That means under certain circumstances, that was what was done, but not all circumstances. Amanami, Amabaya, says Abaya, what do we see from this Gemara? Shmam Nabi Yehuda Nami Mekaymus Mekaymus Yesh. That not everywhere in Yehuda was that minig that the Chas and Kala were left alone during the period that she was in Arusa. And as I saw the Rashba explains, Abai has come to teach us that only in a situation where we know for certain that they were alone, that's when the husband can no longer come with a claim of Tanis Psulim after he consummates his marriage with her. But if we don't know what happened, since, explains the Rashba, we just finished learning in the Gemara, that there are places in Yehuda that they don't necessarily remain alone while she's in Rusa. So if the husband will now come with a claim that he married her and he discovered that she's not a Rusa, she will have to give an explanation why she's not a Psula, what is really the story here. Kiritanya, Amar Yehuda. Yehuda b'rishon ha-miyachtam es-chal sho'achas, koinim k'nisosin l'chuppah. The minig was that they would keep the chasin akala secluded for a short while before the chuppah. For as we explained, k'dei she'liba gaspa. They wanted to develop that relation between the chasin akala. U'begolo, lo yoyosukein. They didn't have such a minig. B'yehuda b'rishon ha-yam emidim lehem sh'nei sh'shbinim. Furthermore, in Yehuda, they would appoint two attendants. Echad loy ve'echad lo, one for the chos and one for the kala. Kedei l'mashmesh is a chos v'es a kala, b'shas k'nisos and l'chuppa. To make sure that the chos and the kala did not do anything inappropriate. That we want to make sure that the chos should not hide the sheet on which there's dam psulim. And we would check the kala to make sure that she did not bring a sheet that were on it some drops of blood, to make sure that she wasn't doing anything inappropriate. B'galo, there was no concern. B'galo lo yosukein. In Galo, we didn't have to be concerned. Furthermore, B'Yehuda b'Rishana Shishvinim Yishenim Rebeis Shechosim V'Kal Yishenim Ba. In Yehuda, the Chosim and Kala, the Shishvinim, these attendants, would stay together with the Chosim and Kala. And again, the explanation is for the same reason. In Yehuda, we're concerned about their honesty, and that's why they have to be watched all of the time. In Gola, we're not concerned about their honesty, and therefore they don't have to be watched on all the time. Says, so what do we see from here? That not in all places did they keep the Chos and the Kal secluded in Yehuda. Because if everywhere in Yehuda they had the Chos and the Kala secluded, so what's the point of having the Shishbinin? There's no point in having them, because there's certainly no question that the Kala is not a psula. The fact that we in some places did it, and the fact that we have shishbinin, where do we have shishbinin? We have shishbinin in a place where there was no yichud, and now we have to be concerned what claims will there be, and to make sure that those claims are dealt with honestly. Says the Gemara, v'kosh lo noa k'min gazeh. The Braisa brings an interesting statement at the end of the Braisa. The Braisa says, v'kosh lo noa k'min gazeh, whoever doesn't have this minig, any yochalut and tanis psulim. Says the Gemara, what does this statement mean? Hi, ilay ma'reisha, if it's going on the reisha, that the Braisa is telling us that wherever there's a minig, that the chos and the kala are together, so the Braisa should have said, kol shenog mi boile, that whenever the chos and the kala were secluded, you can't make a claim, that the chosin can't make a claim, the husband can't make a claim about psulim. Says the Gemara, it's going as sefer. That the Braisa says that in the sefer of the Braisa, we learned that they appointed these attendants, and the Braisa is saying that if you don't have these attendants, then we're not going to believe you when you make a claim about your wife being not a psula. So the Braisa said, if you didn't have the attendants, then you can't make a claim. Says the Gemara, Amar Baila Olamar Resha. It's going on the Resha Tani Kol Shenog, that whenever you have this minig, that the chas and the kala are alone, then you can't make a claim. Says the ask the Gemara Amalei Rava v'ha koshloi nog tani. So the Ritva asks, we have often in Shas that the Gemara changes the gears of a Braisa. Why over here, asks the Ritva, is it so troubling to Rava to change the gears of the Braisa? So the Ritva answers, often we have a change of a girsa. But to have such a radical change, to change from noag to loy noag, that's too much of a change. Kosh loy noag, to change to noag, is too much of a change, the Rava says, we should be able to accept. Elam Rava, says Rava, the Braisa, hachikomer, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Kosh loy noag minig gola begolol. If somebody didn't follow the minig of golol in golol, which, as we've been learning, the minig in Galil is that they are not secluded. If somebody did not follow that minig, but rather minig Yehuda beGalil, he acted in Galil as they do in Yehuda, meaning that the chos and kala was secluded. If that's the case, and yochalot on tanis psulim, then you can't have a complaint of tanis psulim because we have to assume that when they were together, they had bia, and that's why she's not a psula. Ravashi amaloyelam a seifa. We are referring to the seifa. And the Braisa is teaching us in the Sefer that if they didn't have these attendants, then the Chosin and the Kala are not believed. And Tani, and what the right Gersa is to teach us, Kol Shloim Mishpish, that if they didn't have the attendants, he can't make any claims. And as the Beis Shmuel explains, not if there are no attendants in a place where there are supposed to be attendants, then we have to be concerned that this person is dishonest. And since we have to be concerned he's dishonest, not only can he not be believed when he says there was no dam, because as we said, maybe he hid the sheet, maybe he altered the sheet, but maybe he ought to be believed when he says Pesach Pesuach, as we discussed earlier in our Masechta. Tells us the Beis Shmuel, if you didn't follow the rules, and you're supposed to have attendance, and you didn't have attendance, then the halacha is that any claim that'll come with, whether it's a claim about the dam, or whether it's a claim about Pesach Pesuach, he will not be believed. That is the way the Beis Shmuel learns. The Chazon Ish actually disagrees. And he says that if there are no attendants in a place where there are supposed to be attendants, so then the Chosin is not believed with any claim about dam. But the Chazon Ish says he would be believed with a claim as Pesach Pesuach. Because the claim of Pesach Pesuach, he says, is not related at all to the attendance. That's only something that a Chosin can know. And since that's only something that a Chosin can know, for that he will be believed whether there were or weren't attendants. Says the Mishnah, Achas Amonis Yisrael, whether the Almana of Yisrael, Vachas Amonis Kahanim, or the Almana who's a Bas Koyin, the Ksuba in such case is an Amona. However, says the Mishnah, Bezna Shel Kahanim, the Bezna Shel Kahanim, Hayugoyvin L'Psula, they enacted that for Psula Bas Koyin, the Ksuba should be double, Abba Mezuz, and says the Gemara, V'loy Mich V'yad B'Chacham, says the Mishnah, nobody complained. So, the Rishonim asked the obvious question. We're going to learn a Mishnah later in the Masechta, on Daf Nun Dalar Amabez, that anybody could add to the Ksuba as much as they want. So what is the point that the Mishnah says that the Kohanim had 400? The halacha is that you could always add. So I saw a number of pshatim. The halacha is that, let's say, in a regular ksuba, which we've been learning is masaimzuz. It doesn't say masaimzuz. The halacha is, if all the ksuba says is kedechazi l'chi, you're getting what you deserve. The halacha is, she gets what she deserves, those 200 zuz. And when it's a bas koyin, and it says in the ksuba kedechazi l'chi, the chazi l'chi is 400 zuz. So even if it's not stated, that's what she's going to get. Another pshat that Tosfos says, that let's say a ksuba wasn't written. So even though, as we learned, that we're going to learn kalab l'ksuba, one should not remain with his wife without a ksuba. But the halacha is, if they didn't have a ksuba, and they were married, and then the marriage ends, the estate or the husband has to pay the ksuba. And the Mishnah is teaching us, not only must the husband or his estate pay the ksuba, but if she's a bas koyin, the man she's going to be entitled to is 400 zuz. Tana, says the Gemara, v'amonas kohanim, but the amona of a koyin, there gets ksubas masayim. Ask the Gemara, how could you say so? We just learned in our Mishnah, v'anatnan, achas amonas Yisrael, v'achas amonas kohanim, ksubas amonam. Answers the Gemara, Amar Ravashi states to Kanasava. There were actually two stages. Mikar Tikna L'Psula Abba Mezuz, they made that the rule for Psula is 400 Zuz, and Amona, they said that the rule for her is Amona. But says the Gemara, Kivin the Chazud the Mezalzal Bey, what they saw happening was that people were quickly divorcing their wives, because the whole point of the ksuba, as we're going to learn, is kadesh le kala be'enav le'tzia. It shouldn't be quick to divorce her. And they were very concerned when we're dealing with the kahanim, who are considered the distinguished members of Klai Yisrael, explains Rashi, that it should be so easy to divorce her just when there's a ksuba of just a mana, which is not that much money. So that's why, in order to avoid that type of embarrassment for their daughters, they said that the ksuba of almona has to be 200 zuz. However, kivin dechazon, the kaparash menayu, nobody wanted to marry these girls. Because, as Tosfos explains, at this point, a man had a choice. He can marry a Yisrael, a basul of Yisrael, and have to obligate himself to ksuba of 200 zuz, or he can marry an almana of kahanim and also have to obligate himself for 200 zuz. And the way Tosfos explains, if it's the same, all things being equal, people would prefer to marry bas Yisrael. The Amri, adin nesivin almanas kahanim, instead of marrying almanas kahanim, nezivon nesiv basul bas Yisrael, we could get a basul for the same price. So therefore, at Reina L'Masayu, as our Mishnah indicates, they turned things back, and even the Amon of a Kohen was given a Ksuba of Amon. Bezna Shel Kahanim, who we learned in our Mishnah, the Bezna Kahanim take for Psula from their family 400 Zuz. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yudam Shmuel, Loi Bezna Shel Kahanim Bavad. This is not limited to the Bezna of Kahanim. Alafil Mishpachas HaMishas B'Yisrael, distinguished families, and Klai Yisrael, and Rotz Lassa Gedar Shekhanim Asim, if they want to follow that minig, that their children should get a better ksuba, then the halacha is oisin, they could do so. And I saw a very interesting machloikis, Ran versus the Ritva. The Ran says, but it's this rule only applies to Mishpachas Miyuchas B'Yisrael. Distinguished families in Klai Yisrael can act like the Kohanim act, and demand that their daughters get a ksuba 400 zuz. But if it's not a distinguished family, then the halacha is, they have no right to make such a demand. Says the Ritva, that's not true. He says, if any family establishes such a minig, or even any town establishes such a minig, even if they're not mishpachos miyuchasas b'Yisrael, once they establish such a custom in their family, that's what has to be followed. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, if somebody wants to follow the custom of the Kahanim, Kegoin, says the Braisa, Bas Yisrael a Koyin. If a Bas Yisrael marries a Koyin, or Bas Koyin marries Yisrael, Oisim. What do we see from this Braisa, asked the Gemara? That Bas Yisrael a Koyin, if it's a situation of a Bas Yisrael marrying a Koyin, or it's a situation of a Bas Koyin marrying Yisrael, who the Ikat Tzad Kuna? So there's some Kuhuna in this equation. Abbas Yisrael Loi. It seems that Abbas Yisrael never is entitled to this extra ksuba. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Loi mebay kama. Loi mebay Abbas Yisrael. That the halach is that when Abbas Yisrael marries Yisrael, that if they say that our family's minig is to give 400 zuz, the loi matzah amalei loi kamelin halach, that nobody could say, well, getting married to you is such an honor that I should forego this extra obligation. And therefore, certainly he has to pay the 400. He has to obligate himself to the extra ksuba 400. Av Bas Yisrael a Koyin. But when a Bas Yisrael is marrying a Koyin, the Matzah Amala, that the Koyin could say, Alui Kaminalach, I'm doing this wonderful thing that you're marrying into the distinguished family of Kohanim and Emaloi, and that should be enough of a honor. And you should not have get a ksuba of 400 zuz, kamash malon. If that's the minig, that's the minig, and there's no other excuses. Says the Mishnah, Noisa Sisha Valei Matzla Psulim. Somebody marries a woman, and he discovers that she doesn't have psulim. He ameris, she claims, Misharas Stani Nanasti, that I was violated after the erisin, and v'nestap chsadeyu. And what happened here was that this is your bad luck that I am not in a basul anymore. You had relations before you became an arusa, and therefore our whole marriage was a mechitas because I assumed that you are a psula, and it turns out that you're not a psula. We trust her, and the reason, as we're going to see, why she's namenis. Because it's a bari v'shema, he can't claim definitively that what happened here. She's saying definitively this is what happened, and therefore she is believed. But the Rambam points out in the Pirush Mishnayos that even though Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar say she's believed, as we just explained, because it's a bari v'shema, says the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos that whenever you have this type of a situation, whenever you have that this type of an tyra, he can make the other side swear. So he can make a swear that what a shvuas heses, that what she's saying is true. But it's interesting that in this Mishnah Torah, the halach is that he doesn't paskin that he can make a swear, that because, and the explanation, as the Achroinim explained, the Rambam is, since, as we just said, she's coming with a claim of bari, and he's coming with a claim of Shema. When it's a situation of a Bari versus a Shema, the Bari wins hands down, and he doesn't have to swear. Moreover, the Rishonim say from here we see that the obligation of the Ksuba begins at the time of Erisin. Because if not, what she's saying, Nestap Chosadeyu, it was your bad fortune. If he didn't have any obligation, then the halacha is, what's a bad fortune? The halacha is, therefore, we see from here the obligation began at the time of erisin. But Rabbi Kivega discusses what will be the halacha if she was an Eishes Koyin. So what she's saying? She's saying Nestap Chosadei was your bad fortune. But even if it was your bad fortune, the halacha is an Eishes Koyin cannot remain with her husband. And therefore, Kivega wants to suggest that the din of our Mishnah is only by an Eishes Yisrael, not by an Eishes Koyim. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yeshua says, Loi mipi anuchayim, we don't trust her. And the Rishonim discuss, what pshat Loi mipi anuchayim? So the Shita says, that we know it says in Pirkei Avos, that the Emes is one of the three things that the world stands on. And since the world stands on Emes, when she's saying this, what we're saying is Loi mipi anachayim, she's not saying the truth. And therefore, she's not being able to keep the world to stand. The Tveres Yisroel says a different pshat. He says, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph says, there was a city, the name of the city was called Kushta. The word Kushta means Emes, the truth. And the Gemara over there teaches us that nobody died, everybody there lived a long life. Because somebody who speaks the truth is Zoyche Tarichas Yomim. And we tell her, you who we're concerned is not saying the truth, Loi Mipi Anachayim, you're not going to have that Brach of Arichas Yomim. Because only people who say truth, like the people of Kushta, are Zoyche Tarichas Yomim. Ela Reza B'cheskes B'ulam, we have to, until she could bring Edim, that she was violated after the Eirusin, we have to assume that she was a Bula before the Eirusin, Vetasa, and she fooled him. And unless she could bring a Raya that indeed this is what happened, the halacha is that we don't believe her. What's the pshat in Reb Yeshua? Isn't this a situation of Bari V'Shema? So one pshat that I saw is that you could only be considered a klais, a bari v'shema, is if you could back up your bari with some sort of a raya. Rabbi Shua says that if you can't back up your bari with a good raya, that's not considered a bari. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw from the Ratvaz is that, yes, normally Rabbi Shua, of course, will agree, bari v'shema, bari adaf. But that's only when you have a strong bari and a weak shema. But explains the Ratvaz that this situation is considered a situation of a weak bari because she can't back up her claim and a strong shema because it's not likely that a woman was violated. When do we say bari v'shema? Only in a case where there's a good bari and a weak shema, not when we have a weak bari and a strong shema. So the Gemara goes into this subject of Bari V'Shema. Itmar. Somebody goes to someone else and says, Money Libiyotka, you owe me $100. V'layam any adaya, I don't know if I owe you the money. Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, Amri Chayiv. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri Pata. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri Chayiv. Because this is, as we've been learning, a case of Bari V'Shema. I'm saying you certainly owe me the money. You say you don't know. Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri Potter, Dukim money b'cheskes mari. We keep the money where it is. And where was the money? You're saying that I owe you the money, so the money is by me. That's where the money stays. Says the Gemara, Amalei by Rav Yosef, Hader of Huna Rav Yehuda. This Rav Huna Rav Yehuda say that we're following the concept of Bari V'Shema, Bari Adav. Says the Gemara Shmuelhi. It's really something that Shmuel teaches us. The Tanan. We're going to learn in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amin Aleph. That teaches us. Hoysim Uberis. There's a woman who's not married who is pregnant. Vamalo. And they ask her, Mati Vishalubazu, what is the status of this baby that you're carrying? And she says, Mish Ploini V'Kainhu. The father of this child is this man who is a Meyuchas. Ragmalil, Rabbi Elazar, Imrin Namenes, she is believed with that claim. Rami Yudam Shmuel, Halach Kergamliel, the Halach is like her. Vamle Rav Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, Shinana, we find often in Shas, that Rav Yehuda was called Shinana, two pshatim, one pshat is that he was very sharp, another pshat is that he had big teeth. Amit Lamashmei de Shmuel, you told us in the name of Shmuel, Halach Kergamliel, Apri Shina, not only in the situation that we have in that Mishnah, where she says that this child is the child of a Meyuchas, do we follow the opinion of a Gamliel? But also, in our Mishnah, we follow that halacha. My Rishayna, why is our Mishnah different, that we believe her in our Mishnah as well? Davgav Dikla Meimer, because in our Mishnah, there's another consideration. The consideration is, Duka Memoina B'cheskes Mori, that in this case, we could say, leave the money where it is. Amar Gamliel, still Rav Gamliel says, Bari Adif, we always follow the Bari. Says the Gemara. So it turns out, it seems that the machloikis, where between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Huna versus Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan, is a machloikis to Noim. The Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Huna Amri Kir Gamliel, and Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan the Amri Kir Yeshua. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, that the Gemara is not just making a statement. The Gemara is actually asking a question. Because it is the assumption of the Gemara that Amoraim are always aware of a machlokes tanoim. So why don't Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan and Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna coming to teach us that it's already something that we knew well before? It's very interesting that I saw that the Rosh points out that Rav Nachman is mentioned before Rav Yochanan, which is very difficult to understand, because Rav Yochanan was one of the first Amoraim. Rav Yochanan was still a Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and Rav Nachman was one of the later Amoraim. So ask the Rosh, why is Rav Nachman mentioned before Rav Yochanan, when Rav Yochanan came so much before Rav Nachman? So the Rosh says, what happened in the yeshiva was, they always knew that this is the opinion of Rav Nachman, and therefore, this opinion was always stated in the name of Rav Nachman. Later on, it began that they reported that Rabbi Yochanan also holds that way. But since they learned in the yeshiva first that it was the opinion of Nachman, and only later did they discover that this is also the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, they left it as Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan. So again, the Gemara's question is, Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Huna seem to be following the opinion of Gamliel, and Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan seem to be following the opinion of Yeshua. Amlach Rav Nachman, Ano da Amri Afilak Rav Gamliel. I, who am saying here that I don't follow the Bari, could be following the Rav Gamliel, who does follow the Bari. Why? Because Atkan Lekam Rav Gamliel Hosom Ashun the Ikam Migui. In the case where the woman says Mishorastani Nanasti, the woman could have had a better claim. What could have been the better claim? She could have said that she's a mukasaitz. And since she had that ability, and she didn't say that, but rather she said Mishurastani Nanasti, that's why we believe her. But in the case where I come to claim for somebody else money that he says I don't know, my migoyiku, what kind of amigo is there? Inami, atkan lakamar gamil hasom, damrina ukma chazaka. We could assume that a woman is a psula, and that she was a psula until the last minute. Aval hocha, but in the case, because there's a cheskes a guf on a woman is born a psula. And this cheskes a guf says that she was a psula until the final moment. And as the Baal HaMor points out, it's not just the chazaka that we're relying on, because that chazaka actually has been weakened. The chazaka has been weakened by the fact that the husband says, and she's actually agreeing that she's not a psula. But the fact that she also claims Mishurastani Nanasti, and the Mishurastani Nanasti is supported, says the Baal HaMor, with the fact that she has a cheskes aguf, that she lost the psulim in the last moment, that's why we believe her. Aval hocho, when we speak about the person who's claiming davo, my chazaka is lay. What the chazaka does the person with the claim have? Hachnam mstabra, and says the Gemara, it makes sense to explain this. Kimbam shininen, as the Gemara just taught us. Why? Rav Nachman who the kamer Gamliel. The Rav Nachman could hold like a Gamliel. The bari v'shema is bari adif, but the bari v'shema in our sugya is different than the bari v'shema in the sugya where somebody asked. Is asked for money. Dim came because if we won't say that, and if we're going to say that Rabbi Nachman agrees with Rabbi Yeshua, and he doesn't follow the concept of Bari Vishem Bari Adav, we're going to have a problem. Kasha Hilchasa Hilchasa. We'll have the following stira. The Kaimelon, we have a rule in all of Shas, the Hilchasa Rabbi Nachman Bedine. We always follow the opinion of Rabbi Nachman when we speak by Dina Mamnus. And therefore, if the halacha is that Bari Vishema, we don't say Bari Adif, Baha, and here we said, in our Mishnah, we said Amar Yudah Mishma Lokar Gamliel. So that we do rely on the Bari, and she gets a ksuba of Messiah. How do we reconcile? Elav Shema Minokar Mishaminin, the case of our Mishnah and the case of Mani Lebiyotcha are very different. And even though in our Mishnah, Rav Nachman will pass Lokar Gamliel, because for the various reasons that we gave, either because she has a migui or because she has a cheskes aguf. In other areas of halacha, we won't follow the opinion of Nachman that we don't necessarily say bari v'shem bari adif shma minah.